Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Chip Flory of Pro Farmer. Our panelists today are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Commodities in Normal, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's get right into the marketplace for the day. We'll open the question with this discussion. Let's talk about LDP. Friday, the LDP in Illinois was 19 cents. It was 26 cents in Iowa. About 345 million bushels have yet to come out of loan in August, September, and October. December corn pushing to new contract lows this week. 345 is a lot, but really less than 3% of last year's crop. So the question is this, Paul Cooley. Will farmers be able to take an LDP at harvest, or will they need to wait till later in the game?
Oh, I think that a couple things, Todd. I think with the government, it has widened some of the premiums out in here. And, you know, there's, I think, over 345 million bushels of corn out there to redeem loans on. My hunch, that was one factor in here, that we did see new lows in here. The end user has been buying corn. My general impression is that harvest time lows will probably be authentic, and somebody will tap everybody on the shoulder and say, you know, this is a pretty good price. Let's go for it. That's my general impression.
Wayne Nelson?
Yes, there's going to be LDPs, Todd. I think that, like Paul said, we're going to have such carry in here and such the end. We look out at Iowa now, the basis levels are tremendously wide. We're seeing some $1.50 corn out there now, and I don't think all that will get cleaned up before we get into corn harvest.
And Kurt Kimmel.
No, I agree, but I think the LDP is going to be early. The bigger parts going to be early as the growing season goes on. I think the LDP is going to get smaller.
On the grains floor at the Chicago Board of Trade, corn finished like this for the week. September had a high of 215 and three quarters, a low at 203. The settlement price at 203 and three quarters, they were off 6.5 cents from last Friday's close. And December contract, a new contract low, and they settled, by the way, at 217 and three quarters, down 5 3/4, I believe, that new contract low at $2.17 even. September wheat at 326 and three quarters high, the low at 310 and a quarter. September settled at 312 and one quarter. They were off 15 cents from last week. And December futures at 327.5 were down 11 3/4, staying with the corn for the day. Let's talk a little bit about what you think is out in the field at this point. Chip Flory, of course, will have his estimates from the Pro Farmer Crop Tour in a few moments. But what are you hearing from your farmers, Paul Cooley?
My impression is the next USDA report is basically going to be pretty close to unchanged. The marketplace didn't want to hear that news today. All week, and my general impression is that the end user, the commercials, can only buy so much corn in here, and as a result, we saw very strong weakness this week.
I believe that the Pro Farmer Crop Tour put the Illinois crop at 127.2. It's 125 from USDA. Is that high enough?
I think it's still a little rich, but it's going to be wide variance. You go into a field, it varies quite a bit. There's expectations of the field going 180. They take it to the elevator, it's 135. Their expectations 100, it comes in 120. So it's going to be all over the place, but I think the USDA numbers are still a little rich.
What are you preparing your farmer end users for at this point in terms of marketing the crop if they haven't been staying up with where you are?
Well, as far as end users, users in general, we're scaled down buyers in here collecting inventory through mid-harvest and get the stuff booked. I think this is the best buying opportunity. As far as a producer in general, we feel there's virtually little downside risk with LDP and government programs. So we're in a store hold and capture some carry through the marketing year.
And everybody agree with that? We're storing corn, right? Okay, everybody's shaking their head. Yes, you're going to store corn. The question is, when are you going to bring it out, and how are you going to pull that off? Paul Cooley.
Well, we know that our general feeling is that we'll probably see 1.5 million acres smaller corn acreage planted next year based on more wheat being planted in Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky. Our general impression is that that with the energy prices the way they are in the real corn belt of the United States, we probably won't see the big growth in corn acres. One limiting factor here is energy prices, but also this area on the wheat acres basically taking corn production away means that we will have stronger prices at some point in time next year.
Wayne, let's step away from corn just a bit and do talk about energy, how it's been impacting anhydrous ammonia prices, what your expectations for the price of anhydrous for the fall season might be.
Well, we talked to some of our fertilizer people that we've known for years. We're hearing that wholesale fertilizer is over $400 now to the farmer. It's probably going to be right around $485 to $500 for fall application. And I said, well, would you recommend we put it on the fall or wait till spring? She says, I would get it on because we import over half of our anhydrous right now. And with the energy costs going up, importing costs are going to go up and the supply might not be there. And along with that come spring, and it will be probably higher.
Let's use the energies to lead into the soybeans. And Paul, you've got another comment you want to
make?
Well,
and also I think the other factor is the true cost and the real cost of actually getting the grain to market is going to go up. And that's probably going to keep the basis a little soft as we go in the harvest time frame.
Soybeans sometimes follow the energy, sometimes not. We'll do the bean numbers at the moment. September had a high this week at 615 and three quarters, the low at 584. And a settlement price for those SEP soybeans at 591. They were down 6.25 from last week. November beans at 602 were off 5.5 cents. And the energies were up around $67 a barrel for crude oil this week. We talked to Mike Zuzulo on Friday afternoon. He was taking a look back at some of the charts and how crude oil and soybean track together. We talk about that on Commodity Week in the closing market on a regular basis. And something along the lines of the price of beans should be about 8 to 9. If you, the price of crude is about 8 to 9 times the price of beans. That's not correct at the moment. So the question for him and for you, Kurt, is which will it be? Will crude come down or will beans go up more? And they'll probably come together more in both directions, but one of the two of them is going to have to do more of a jump than the other.
Well, not necessarily, but in reality, I think crude's overcooked here for a minute or two, and I think probably crude's going to be vulnerable to some type of correction to the downside. Until we cool the world demand appetite for crude oil is going to stay firm.
Yeah, and let's stay with the beans. And you just, as we looked at the Pro Farmer numbers, the pod counts were pretty good coming out of Pro Farmer. And many in Chicago were saying, hey, these are pretty good pod counts. Maybe this bean crop's a lot better than we think it is.
Yeah, I think you're correct. Over the last few years, the Pro Farmer Tour has been getting more recognition because they're actually physically doing something that whets the appetite between the August and September report. So the trade, as hungry as is for information, took on this. But plus two, we had some rains here. It's going to help the double crop beans. Then plus two, we sort of fails to see some business come. The trade's looking at future potential export business, and new crop sales are only about 50% of a year ago.
It's important that beans move below $6 this week. And what does that tell you about this marketplace?
Technically, it's very weak, Todd. We broke down through there. We did believe the Pro Farmer pod counts. The floor is definitely short or wanting to get shorter, and they are very negative.
Getting back to that original comment that T-Bone Pickens and Goldman Sachs are extremely bullish of the crude oil, and I think they work individually, if crude oil's in an uptrend, I'd stay with that one. If beans are going down, I'd go with that trend too. But the big thing is these pod counts are just out of sight. I'm the first one to see that when I walked out into the fields, in about a 50-mile area. The weather forecast looked to be good to excellent. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised from our sources from the Western Corn Belt to the Eastern Corn Belt to Memphis to Chicago or Minneapolis. I think there could be a surprise, a bigger bean production number, and the marketplace didn't want to hear that this week, Todd.
Yeah, just let me double check. You just told me that the price of crude is going to keep going up and the price of beans are still going to go down.
For a while. And, we have to treat them as two different commodities. And, it's spreads are wonderful as long as you've get things in sync. And the general point here is that the hurricane made a U-turn. It's going more into the Gulf. There's chances of rain this weekend, so the chances of a improvement in yield are still a factor. I think that one thing that supported the market is China is back in town as a buyer of U.S. soybeans, which is the best news anybody wanted to hear.
Of course, 6 months from now, there'll be another, well, 7 or 8 months, there'll be another crop coming in from Brazil and South America. What do we know about what their plans are at this point for planting?
Well, it depends on world energy prices and the price of beans in general. At this price level, expansion is probably going to be on hold. The key is whether or not they'll have a good crop. Early estimates are they could probably come in with a 58, 59 million metric ton for Brazil.
So the question, I suppose the real question then for farmers is, you know, is a $6 price level, a $6.25, a $6.50 price level a place to market their soybeans, given what may be the size of this year's bean crop here in the United States?
I believe so, especially if they're behind on some sales in through here. Basically, when you look at the old crop, we're looking at new crop, but we still got 300 million bushels of old crop coming in here. So we've got plenty or ample supplies of beans until we get into that growing season. So for cash flow needs, I think you need to push sales into those levels.
Yeah, at what level? I gave you a 50-cent spread there.
So. Right in there.
Wayne, how about you on beans? Where do you think?
Well, as we look at the bean crop, there's no real carry there as considering compared to corn. So we're going to probably say market beans and keep your corn in the storage that you have along the way. So we would like to hopefully be able to get $6 cash bean down the road, whatever. I think that along the way, if you feel that Brazil isn't going to do something and you want to be bullish, well, we have to do it with a bull call spread.
If the farmer didn't sell his beans out of the field last year, he's definitely not going to play that game this year. And my opinion is he's going to be a very, very strong holder of soybeans all over the Midwest. I think that we will see good storage income return, but I didn't say the bottom's in yet. So, you know, a true hedger would wait a while before he says the bean market's bottom. But I do think we will see some strong rallies after the first year. The Chinese seem to be, a good buyer of beans, and the world demand for protein is good. So I don't really think that it's going to be too bad a program to follow the farmer and hold beans. I think the processors are going to be out there scrambling for beans just like they always do.
From the Mercantile Exchange this week, live cattle had a high of $82.70, a low at $80.02, and they settled at $82.37.5. They were $1.90 higher from last week. The August contract at $111.45 for the feeders, up 85 cents. Lean hogs, October contract at $64.37.5 on the high, the low at $61.35. October lean hogs, $64.22.5. They were up $2.07.5 from last week. The August bellies at $73.92.5. We're up to 35.5. Anything out of the Mercantile Exchange and the meats that we need to watch as we go into the Labor Day weekend?
Well, naturally be Labor Day clearance, of course. That's our big weekend as far as meat goes. But, too, keep an eye on these hog cutouts in through here. We've seen some strength in through here. We've seen a lot of appreciation. Cattle prices jumped in through here on some tighter numbers here short term. So the meat complex as a whole is enjoying a short term bounce here to keep an eye on to may sell on further strength.
You know, one of the things that we understand is the Chinese seem to have a tremendous appetite for pork now, and some of the lower cuts going to China. It is wonderful that we are seeing these good prices, even with the high price energy. Obviously, the two are, keeping strong. In other words, the consumer is buying beef and pork and also buying high-priced oil. So they still lose some money in there in the consumer to keep the cattle and hogs propped up.
And I've got a couple of other questions. I want to pick up the September oat numbers, 148 on the settlement. They were down a penny and a half from last week. And we had this question about the Minneapolis Grain Exchange. And this came in from a listener. He emailed Dave Dickey late this afternoon, wanted to know if somebody on the panel could discuss what's up with what he says, the lack of carry in the September spread in Minneapolis at the grain exchange. Has anybody been watching that one and able to stay up with it?
You know, I think it's probably a situation in the cash market where there is some nearby demand for a particular type of wheat grade, and I think that's the main factor there.
In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Chip Flory of Pro Farmer.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, supporting the Farm Progress Show August 30th through September 1st in Decatur, Illinois. ADM, resourceful by nature.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. More rain came to the driest areas of Illinois this week, keeping much of the state on track for at least near-normal rainfall for August. A cold front triggered thunderstorms across the northern half of the state early in the week, dropping 1/2 to 1.5 inches of rain across much of northwestern and northern Illinois. Dixon picked up more than 2.5 inches of rain since last Saturday, and Freeport more than 2 inches. In central Illinois, amounts ranged from 1/4 to 1 inch. The southern quarter of Illinois did not see much rain early in the week. On Thursday, however, a cluster of thunderstorms moved out of Missouri and into Illinois, bringing significant rainfall to southwestern Illinois, particularly from Madison County north through Scott and Morgan counties. Lighter amounts of rain fell in central and northern Illinois. Cool Canadian high pressure dominated Illinois weather much of the week, resulting in cooler and less humid conditions over most of the state for a few days. Temperatures this week ranged from 4 degrees below normal in northwestern Illinois to 4 degrees above normal in far southern Illinois. After some possible showers and thunderstorms this weekend with the passage of a cold front, that may be the last of the rain for a few days. Next week should be generally sunny with temperatures running near normal. The next chance for rain could be next weekend with the approach of yet another cold front. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu. Click on AM and then on Agriculture.
I'm Todd Gleason. This is Commodity Week. Our panelists today are Kurt Kimmel, Grainfield Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. We're joined now by Chip Flory. He's the editor at Professional Farmers of America. He joined Pro Farmer staff in 1991. His specialty, of course, is anticipating the impact of major developments in supply and demand prospects on market psychology and price trends. And this week, he spent across the Midwest in the Corn Belt on the Pro Farmer John Deere Crop Tour. Thanks for being with us this afternoon, Chip. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Summarize for me what you found.
Okay. A couple of key points here first. We've been talking about these pod counts, and I understand that the pod counts have been a source of pressure on the bean market here. A word of warning on that. Pod counts have very little correlation, direct correlation, to final yield, okay? Over the last 13 years that we've been running this tour, when we look at the number of bushels produced per 1,000 pods counted on the crop tour, it ranges anywhere from 22 bushels up to 42 bushels produced per 1,000 pods counted. So there's very little direct correlation between the number of pods and the final yield that we have. A couple of reasons. Number of seeds per pod, and most importantly, the size of the seed. That's the thing that has yet to be determined in the Eastern Corn Belt. We've had some good rains, some decent rains in Illinois, but that bean crop needs more water if it's going to finish with an even average pod, with an even average seed size. So that's why when we sat down and started doing our crop estimates, we ended up putting Illinois at 37.5 bushels per acre. That's down from USDA on August 1 at 39 bushels per acre. It's just been a persistently dry pattern. The meteorologists that we've talked with that we trust seem to think that we've got a persistently dry pattern for September ahead. Last year, think about what the September weather did to help finish that crop and make it bigger. Well, if you don't have a good September and you don't put some rain on it, even as that crop is nearing the maturity point, you're going to bring the average yield down. So, all the talk about pod counts is good, and I think it tells us that we've laid the foundation for a very good bean crop out there. But the bottom line is that there are several other factors that come into play. That's why we put the Illinois crop at 37.5 bushels. We also dropped the Ohio crop down to 40.5 bushels. That's down from 42 from USDA on August 1. And in Indiana, we dropped it 2 bushels per acre down to 44 bushels per acre. And the reason being is that those crops need need some water here to finish up the development. Now, out in Iowa and Minnesota, where we've got some good soil moisture, we went ahead and raised those yield expectations. Minnesota, we put at 42 bushels per acre. USDA on August 1 was 40. And in Iowa, we went on up to 45 bushels per acre. That's up a bushel from what we saw on August 1 from USDA. Nebraska, South Dakota, we left the same because conditions are basically the same that we saw back on August 1. So we moved yields around quite a bit. We ended up with a national average yield estimate of 38.5 bushels per acre. That gives us a crop of 2.783. That's down just a bit from what USDA put the crop on August 1.
What? I got a question on that. When you count the pods, you say that doesn't determine yield, but yet you're coming up with these yield projections. It's kind of confusing to me. Then secondly,
now what we do is we use the pod counts, and we've got the back data behind it, and we look at analog years, comparable years, and then we look at what the number of bushels produced per 1,000 pods counted in similar years generated for final yields at the end of the year. That's how we do it. We use back data.
Okay. Then the second part of the question was, on your tour, you had Illinois like 127, then your final wrap-up, or the numbers you put out today was like 119.
Right.
What was the difference there?
Right. The difference there is kernel size. Now, for Illinois, what we're doing is looking at 1995 as the best comparison year. Now, there are some differences, obviously. We had gray leaf spot all over the place in 1995. We don't have that kind of a problem this year, so we didn't go with as big of a decline in kernel size. Basically, what we did in Illinois was we knocked another 3.5% or 4% off because of kernel size. And when we look at that Illinois number, the other thing that we need to remember is that we've got a standard deviation for the state of Illinois that we plug in. We know how much we usually miss the Illinois crop by. So we can plug in that standard deviation, make an adjustment for an anticipated smaller kernel. Normally it takes about 90,000 kernels to make a bushel. Last year it took 78,000 kernels to make a bushel. That's why we ended up at 181. You go back to 1995, it took about 108 to 110,000 kernels to make a bushel. We're looking at something in that range of 100 to 105,000 kernels to make a bushel in 2005. That's how we ended up down at 119. When we go out there, we just the yield calculation that we use on the tour is just very simply assumes an average kernel size, an average ear weight. Okay, now. The yield estimates that you're hearing from Pro Farmer are not associated with the crop tour. We use the data that we gather on the tour, and then we put out the Pro Farmer crop estimates. Those numbers are going to be different every year. Every year they're going to be different than what you see on the John Deere Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. That's why we stress that you must compare yield changes or the yields that we come up with on the tour to tour results of the past and tour results only. You can't compare them to USDA's numbers. We stress that time after time.
As we look at that, I was reading your reports, and you said Minnesota is very good, or the garden spot. Does it look like it's going to be better than last year? And when you figure in your variables, is it still going to be better than last year?
You know, the Minnesota crop has got some holes in it. We put the corn crop at 152 bushels per acre. We put the bean crop at 42 bushels per acre. At 152 bushels per acre, that really starts to zero in on about where we were last year. But actually, we're down from USDA on August 1 at 155. Now, the reason that we came down, we came up with significantly lower yield estimates out of the critical South Central District and out of the Southwest District. It's also dry up in the Central Crop District. And then our I'm getting ahead of myself. And then our ear counts in the West Central District of Minnesota were down and down significantly from what we've seen in the past. So there are some problems in Minnesota, but boy, I tell you what, where it's good, it is really good.
Okay, I got a two-part question here. The pods, did any agronomist have any theory on why the pod count were so good in the U.S.? And the second part of the question is there's rumors continuing in the grain trade that the USDA still doesn't have the acreage right. Did you have any feeling or see any real big areas that just said, oh, gee whiz, they did plant a lot more corn in certain geographic areas than you thought?
No, answering the first question or the second question first. No, I don't think that we saw anything as far as the acres go to really make me think that we're going to see some big changes in acres. And remind me of the first question
about the pod counts. Was there anybody that basically came up with a theory why the pod counts were so good all over the Midwest?
Yep. Okay. Quick story. 1998, when Nebraska started growing soybeans, the guys out there had never grown soybeans under a pivot before. We were out there, and the guys were just dumping water on it. We walked out into bean fields that were chest high and had pods on them that were 10, that counted 10 per plant, okay? Chest high beans with 10 pods on them. Made great hay, didn't make very good beans. That's because those plants were never stressed. Now, the guys out in Nebraska that grow beans under irrigation have figured out you let those beans sit there, and you let them stress, and you let them stress, and you let them stress. Then you come at the 11th hour and dump a bunch of water on it, and it triggers the pod set, and they'll have knee-high beans with 50, 60 pods per plant. I think that's kind of what happened in the Eastern Belt this year. We put that crop under stress early in the season. It sat there. We'd catch a timely rain just to keep it going, and then we got some decent rain on top of it, and it triggered that pod set. I think it's, you know, when I drove through Illinois this year, I felt like I was driving through Nebraska, because you drive in and out of these areas that got rain and areas that did not get rain, and it was like going from a dryland field into an irrigated field out in Nebraska, and the same with the beans. You know, the beans were typical, what I would call typical Nebraska beans. They were drought stressed, and but you went ahead and dumped some water on it at just the right time, and they set all those pods. Now the key there is, the guys out in Nebraska are still watering their beans. They're making a bigger bean for the in those pods that have been set. Out here in Illinois, we really don't have that option. We're just waiting for the next rain to come. If that next rain doesn't come, I'm afraid that even at 37.5 bushels per acre, that might still be too high if we don't have a good finish to this crop.
Chip, two things, and we're running short on time. Do you think that the pod counts, as you explained it, are up because of the stress, I suppose, is what you said? But right. It, the bean sets pods all season long, but if it's stressed, it'll abort those blooms early on, and then if you get the rain, she just sets them, and they all stick at the end. Is that the case, probably?
Well, that probably is, yes.
And then the second thing is, and we're really short on time, what do you say about prices for both corn and soybeans in harvest and then in December?
Okay, well, basis stinks right now. We know that. And in reality, I think harvest has already started because so much of that 04 crop is starting to come to the market right now. So it's almost like we're in a harvest market. I think we've got a little bit more pressure sideways to lower, but by the time we get to the winter and post-harvest, we'll have a better selling opportunity then.
Chip, thanks much for joining us today.
You bet. Thank you, guys.
Paul Cooley is with us, and he's with ADM Investor Service. Your final word, Paul?
I'll see everybody Wednesday at the Farm Progress Show at the U of I Purdue Ag Extension Tent.
And we have Wayne Nelson with us as well.
It's been a bad week as far as the markets go. It sounds like Chip thinks it can get better later.
And Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing.
A big thank you goes out to John Deere and Pro Farm for doing all this work to give us an idea what the crop looks like out there.
I'm Todd Gleason. That's this week's edition of Commodity Week.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu. Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, supporting the Farm Progress Show August 30th through September 1st in Decatur, Illinois. ADM, resourceful by nature.